Welcome to the Comic Book Rundown.
Hello, and welcome back to the Comic Book Rundown. I'm your host, Joe, and with me today is my co-host, Ron.
Hello.
And from the Bat Friends podcast, Chris.
Hey, you guys.
We are on the sixth issue of this Captain America
emo story arc.
Yes. Like that. We'll go with that. These issues have basically just been all one-shots with very small connectivity in them.
The whole connectivity in all of these is Captain America being kind of whiny, upset with everything in his life.
And Sharon Carter and all that. But if you want to listen to them, go ahead to our last five issues. And also, if you want to listen to our other Captain America stories, check out episodes 28 through 30 and 44 through 49. So let's go on to this issue, issue 125, and is Captured in Vietnam.
You gotta say it in Vietnam.
Vietnam.
There you go.
Yeah, it is two words.
Featuring the surprise villain of the year.
Oh, yeah. I forgot about that.
I actually was surprised by that.
Ha!
Literally. Anyway.
No one ever expects the Spanish Inquisition.
Oh, jeez. So we start out, and Cap is in his hotel room, throwing his costume around. And he says that he has to get involved. I need some action. Fast. Anything to make me forget about Sharon.
Okay. No, right there. I need to get involved. I need a new relationship. I need to get some action fast. I need some pussy. Anything to make me forget about Sharon.
I can't argue with that. I really can't. But he's referring to Vietnam.
Sure.
Vietnam. Anyway, let's see here. Yeah, he finds out that... Well, before we get into that, he's in a funk. He's upset because Sharon, quote-unquote, lied to him about staying out of active duty, even though she was literally trying to save him, but that apparently is besides the point, because a woman can't save a man. Yep.
It's true.
In 1970, it was true.
Well, in Captain America comics, apparently it was true. Yeah. In Captain America's mind, I guess we should say.
Yeah. So he decides to try to take his mind off of her by turning on the TV, the 6 o'clock news, and... That's Walter Cronkite, right?
Fuck, dude, I don't know.
Anyway. So he turns on the TV, and he hears about Dr. Robert Hoskins. He apparently went missing over in Vietnam. Cap recognizes the guy as the peacemaker. He's not choosing sides. He's over there to help out both sides. And he's confused as to why anybody would want to harm someone like him. So he just takes it upon himself. Actually, you know what? You do bring up a good point. Because I guess I was just assuming he was talking about Vietnam, but he just now found out about Vietnam.
He just wanted some pussy.
Okay.
Dude, all right, here's the question, though. If everything's 10 times as strong...
Oh, Jesus.
Anytime that he hooks up, he's going to end up with these little super babies.
Okay. I thought we were going to have go ahead.
I thought we were going to have a kryptonite condom conversation.
Yeah, that's what I was going to say.
are we talking like the Superman. Mall rats?
Exactly. Yes.
Ironically enough, we were just talking about mall rats. Look, all I'm saying is he'd blow a hole in your chest like a shotgun.
Okay.
Anyways.
So he decides that he is going to find whatever way possible to get over to Vietnam. So he contacts Avengers. Some Avengers agent?
No. I think that's his ID card.
He goes to the State Department, and he uses his ID card, which... So he went through this whole thing, all this trouble of trying to convince the world that Steve Rogers and Captain America are two different people. His Avengers identification card...
Literally says Steve Rogers right on it.
Has his signature on it. It's like, good job, guy. You're really thinking that one through. But he
is a blonde, I mean.
he goes to the State Department, and he's trying to secure passage to Vietnam. And he does so on a B-52. And he is the... So I love this. The pilot is like, "You must be pretty special stuff, mister, to rate a sudden ride on a B-52. Let's just say I won a contest, and this was the first prize." If that was a first prize,
okay,
like,
man.
I'd be entering those contests all the time, man.
Okay, man. We'll play it your way.
"Just sit back and enjoy the ride. I will if you don't let me sleep past my stop." Really?
Okay, you keep your secrets.
Fucking... I mean, Cap is very asshole-ish in these issues, which I guess for the time fits, but still.
Yeah.
So, eventually, they get over Vietnam, or over where he needs to get out. So he straps on a parachute and jumps out. Literally, yeah. Just jumps out of
the speed. But this is a battle area. You're alone and unarmed. And so is the man I've come to save. But he doesn't say that.
No, he says, "No sweat, Major. I'm a big boy now." Fuck.
All right, big boy. It was nice knowing you.
Down in the battlefield, we have got two sides, you know, North and South Vietnam, basically saying that the other side took Dr. Hoskins. And this is why the fighting is ensuing even more than what it was. And I'm assuming just in this area. I'm not saying that Hoskins is traveling back and forth across the border to certain, to like all over, but I'm assuming just this, like, he's stationed in this one spot.
And
South can come here,
comes,
North
yeah.
can come here.
And he takes care of everybody.
Yeah. So I'm assuming just this little area around is what's the fighting is just ensuing more and more. And that's what we see. We see just this battle scene happening. And then we see Cap in his costume now. He's on the ground.
In his big red, white, and blue costume.
Yeah, hiding in a green and brown jungle. He's not going to stick out at all. Nope.
Oh, and even makes a comment like, "Yeah, I think this was a mistake."
Like, yeah, because he starts to get shot at, and he sees one side. Or does he see both sides? Yeah, I think he does see both sides, and he recognizes the costumes immediately. But then he recognizes one guy with a different costume as he's getting jumped.
Yeah.
So, you know, automatically assumes that this guy, this group, has to have been the one that took
Hoskins.
So he's trying to put up a fight, but he then stops hitting them and lets them knock him out, quote unquote. And they start dragging him to this castle. And it's revealed that the Mandarin is the one who captured Dr. Hoskins.
Okay, the only experience I have with the Mandarin would
Iron
be...
Iron Man 3?
Yeah. So, like, Captain America has fallen to the forces of the Mandarin. And, I mean, the Mandarin has got a goofy-ass costume.
That's actually his costume, like...
Yeah, yeah, no, but I'm saying, like...
Normal.
Yeah, and it's... That is fucking goofy.
He's also mainly an Iron Man villain, so... The fact he showed up, well, that's no different than the Scorpion showing up 3 issues ago.
Yeah.
So, but yeah, no, his portrayal in Iron Man 3, I like Ben Kingsley. He is an amazing actor.
It was hilarious, don't get me wrong.
It was perfect.
But at the same time, like, with that as my only, source.
Takeaway?
Yeah, that's the only place I've ever seen the Mandarin.
Yeah.
Like, seeing him in here and seeing him as an actual, like, a real villain was kind of nice, a nice change.
Yeah. So they bring Cap up to the Mandarin, like, face-to-face. And once Cap realizes, oh, the Mandarin's the one who took Hoskins? All right, cool. I'm going to stop fainting now and
it's
start
time attacking. To squish this orange. Oh, wait.
Really? So he goes and, you know, handily walks through the Mandarin's men.
Goons
work. Until the Mandarin uses his... Mystic power rings to try and kill Cap.
Well, it's worth pointing out that Cap uses his move from earlier with the tree, except with the spear this time.
Yeah.
Oh,
no,
yeah.
Actually, I had that in my notes. I just put my notes away.
Also, he gets pinned down by the cuff of his boot.
Yeah.
One, that's a great shot if you miss any body part but get through his boot.
Second off, look at the size of the spearhead on that,
yeah,
it would have just shredded the whole boot. Like,
yeah, it's plastic. Like, as soon as it goes through, then it spears out. Sure, we'll go with that. Comic science.
Yeah.
Anyways,
gets blasted with a ring of power.
Mm-hmm. and then he goes falling through the window? Or, yeah.
Yeah.
The metal grate above. Oh, no, okay. Yeah. He swings up there and goes through basically the ventilation shaft. Because, you know, this is Star Wars. And somehow it starts a fire? Like, I don't know. I guess the blast from the Mandarin's ring bounced off of Cap's shield and he hit a drape. And the Mandarin is stuck down below, burning alive, while Cap is up in the vents, running off. Yeah. I mean, I know Mandarin doesn't die, but...
Obviously, yeah, but...
Yeah.
That's too funny. And then, while Cap is up here, at the end of this corridor, a steel door. For what purpose except to hold a prisoner? Have I found what I came for?
And he did! Congratulations! Although the Hoskins thinks it's, you know, a trick, trying to get them to confess something. I don't even know why. I guess Mandarin captured Hoskins so that the battle would still ensue.
Yeah, but could have been psychological, you know.
Yeah,
trauma. But right here, okay, move back away from the door. This barrel of gunpowder is just what I need, because of course that would be laying around randomly where you keep your prisoner at.
Well, you're right next door. Yeah, it literally is right next door. Yeah. Like, right next to the door.
Oh my god. Captain America and Link? Look, they get right what they need before they need to use it.
Trying to make a Legend of Zelda reference? Nice.
He's got blonde hair. He's got a green suit.
He's got a shield.
And a green suit.
Maybe,
anyways.
Maybe. So he blasts this door open with the gunpowder and rescues Hoskins. As he's trying to leave the castle, the Mandarin's out there on a drawbridge, basically ready for them to come through. And he uses the blast off his shield to break the chains on this drawbridge, which drops the drawbridge.
While he's standing on it, along with the Mandarin.
Now, I don't know what kind of drawbridge this is, but most drawbridges already are
against the
ground on the other side.
Yeah.
So, one, the bridge, which is down, will not go anywhere. Two, why is it twisting like it is?
Yeah. Like, it's plastic.
Maybe.
Look, the whole thing was built out of, you know, Legos and...
Now that I can believe.
Welcome to...
Manners on a budget.
He is.
Welcome to Comic Book Conspiracies.
Ooh, I like that. We should do that.
God.
Find
the hidden meaning behind all.
But Cap grabs Hoskins and jumps off the bridge that apparently is crumbling from chains breaking, and back to land. And he hands Hoskins back to the fighters.
After an all-night trek, though, is when he hands him back to the...
Well, he sure.
Now that both sides have realized they were duped by the Mandarin, they can face each other at the peace table again.
Nah, they're gonna fight again, probably.
Yeah.
But he then he has his Hulk walk back to the plane, and that's the end of this issue. That's the end of the arc that we're doing.
All the tomorrows that can come, with nothing but loneliness and strife.
Oh, what is me? Dude, look, I'll tell you what, like, they should have changed his hair to, like, black with pink tips, and,
He could be Peter Parker in Spider-Man 3, dancing down the street.
Fucking all right, God, that's horrible.
So, like I said, these issues, I had fun with them. They were just so fucking goofy, and I loved it.
And dude, some of the corny shit that happens in them is just, like, I mean, I get it, like, you know, we're obviously not in the same time frame that these were made.
No.
But you've got to wonder... What the hell were people thinking back then that actually made this stuff to where it would have been, you know, like, something that actually had to be, like, for instance, like, when they monologue what they're doing, you know?
Yeah.
That's annoying. I like nowadays how, like, if something is going on that you aren't sure about, they've got, like, the little yellow boxes, mm-hmm. and it's like, you know.
Well, it's their thought bubbles, just it's not a thought bubble anymore.
Yeah. It's like a narrator. Up. It's like a narrator telling you, you know, like. Meanwhile, back at, you know, headquarters, after finding out that he was tagged with, you know, whatever.
I feel like it holds up better. Some of the writing of today holds up better than what the 60s, 70s, 80s did. Don't get me wrong.
But
there are
50
classic
years of experience now.
Yes, there's classic stories like Secret Wars is a classic story. Crisis is a classic. Most of these, Batman Year One, that's, you know, these are classic stories.
Never heard of it.
Shut up. that will hold up from a, I don't even want to say from a certain point of view, but you can tell, like, Swamp Thing. The Alan Moore Swamp Things are a perfect example of a story that holds up even to this day.
Oh,
the
absolutely.
Writing is beautiful. The art is great. This, and that was in the 80s. This is the 70s, and it's not holding up as well.
Yeah, well,
Stanley's, he's a great creator. He's not a great writer.
Yeah, well, and even, he was a great creator early on. We read the,
what was it called?
The Traveler. We read The Traveler from Boom Studios that he created. The first four issues were great. Like, I actually enjoyed them. But then I read the last eight, and I'm like, this story is fucking out there. The character was okay, but I don't think this was really what he had in mind. I could be wrong. I don't know. I can't ask him. He's dead.
Yeah. I give him full credit for all of his co-creation.
Yes.
But a lot of the books I've read by him, I don't really like.
I think he was a product of his time. He was great.
Yeah.
Like I said, he was great in the early on. But since then, we've had other writers come in and do wonderful things for these characters.
Well, we have people that, like, I mean, okay, I don't know, you know, if Stan Lee was actually, like, a writer at any point in time for, like, actual stories. But, like, the comic book stories we get now are more story-based than action-based. Like,
true.
As far as, like, you know, trying to, like, instead of trying to work their story in around all the action that's going on, they work the action into their story.
Okay.
So as opposed to like, okay, for these ones, it seems to me it's like, okay, we know we want Captain America to fight. We know we want Captain America to be a mopey bitch. We know we want Captain America to have, you know, exploits between S.H.I.E.L.D. and, you know, whatever enemy. And then let's just build our story around those three points that we have to have in there.
Okay.
And then nowadays it's like, we also have bigger story arcs. Nowadays,
yeah,
like where the actual story is going through the entire arc.
Yeah, like, well, Secret Empire, Captain America story, but yeah, that you're right, like it is telling the story through 10 issues, and it's a full story in those 10 issues versus what, just one issue trying to jam everything into one issue.
Yeah.
You can stretch out the story longer and get a better narrative than just jamming into 22 pages.
Well, especially like in a lot of these that we covered, you know, like I said, they're throwing random villains at us.
Well,
and don't get me wrong, like, that can work out okay, but, like, the random villains, first off, had nothing to do with each other.
Correct.
And then, like, the story from one of them to the other one to the other one, it was literally just, it's like watching episodes of a show out of order.
Oh, so Firefly.
Fuck you, I love Firefly.
So do I.
I actually didn't watch it on TV, thankfully.
Same.
It's also worth noting that they were written for children, where today they're written more for an adult audience.
That's true. And plus, so, we are also three adults going back to a book
you,
from the
70s. Fuck you, speak
for yourself. And, yeah, so. But, yeah, no, I enjoyed it.
Yeah, see, my takeaway from these is they are fun, and they were a lot better than The Flash.
No, stop it.
I'm sorry.
We're going to be done with The Flash soon.
Thank God.
Chris, what was your take on these issues?
I enjoy them for what they are, but I think what happened with Cap after Mark Waid took over in the 90s and beyond is what I really fell in love with for the character.
Okay.
So I don't enjoy it as much as that stuff. But I do like looking back and seeing where the character came from.
Yes. Okay. Gentlemen, this is awesome. Chris, where can everybody find both Fortress of Comic News and Bat Friends?
Any podcast service, youtube.com/FortressComicNews and FortressComicNews.com.
Okay. And if they want to find you personally?
Twitter, At Fortress Chris.
Okay.
Show up to his house, punks. Oh.
Maybe not that personally. See what happens. That's not going to be a good thing. So yeah, guys, cool. Thanks for coming on.
Off subject. Okay. The poster you have hanging up right behind you.
Squirrel
Girl. Squirrel Girl. That's adorable.
I love me some Squirrel Girl.
Yeah, gentlemen, thank you guys for coming on.
Thanks for having us.
Thank you.
And Chris, definitely going to have to get you back on here again sometime.
Will do.
All right, take it easy, guys. Thank you for listening to the Comic Book Rundown. If you enjoyed listening to Chris, please check out the Fortress of Comic News podcast, as well as the Bat Friends podcast, on your podcast app of choice. Or you can check out the fortressofcomicnews.com website, which will have links to everything you'll need. And as always, you can find us on Twitter at Comic Rundown, on Instagram at Comic Book Rundown, or you can send your emails to comicbookrundown@gmail.com. We'll be back very soon with a brand new story arc.